Father, I thank you so much for your presence once again. I do not take it for granted. I humble myself under your mighty name, stripping myself of every confidence that I may hide my own knowledge or ability to share your word. I place all of my confidence in your mercies, in the grace of the Lord Jesus, and help the Holy Spirit to use these things, Lord God, to bring a word of encouragement, a word of healing, a word in season, Lord God, causing yokes in our lives to be broken, needs to be met. Glory to God, to the name of Jesus, and blessing unto us, the sons of men, in the name of Jesus Christ. As the word goes forth, let it go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. Do our internal and eternal work in our hearts and life, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to further enlighten the revelation of the word that comes forth today, and our emotions to further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. I ask for mercy to enable to bring out our treasure of God, things new and old, as the scribe instructed unto the kingdom. Lord, help me to redeem time, not to say things are necessary, causing praise to glow to them and just and blessings to us, the sons of men, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. I thank God for today and his mercies. Thank you so much, choir, for this administration. And I thank people, like I said earlier on. So we are all involved. Praise the Lord. The message I bring today, the Bible talked about in the book of Malachi. God says that God will raise up an end time Elijah ministry. And its purpose is to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the children to the fathers. You know, and this is one of such messages, and I'm trusting that God will bring about a healing in our hearts. It's a very simple message. You know, as I meditated on it, this scripture came to my heart, and I'll read it before we go into the message today. In Hosea chapter 6, verse 1, it talks about the God. We all know Hosea chapter 6, verse 2, that says, after 2 days, he will revive us, and the third day, he will raise us above. Verse 1, put it back in verse 1 before I go into the message. I'll just read as it came to me as I was coming up. Verse 1, please. He says that let us return. Let's come. Let us return unto the Lord. For he has done what? Turn. And he will heal us. He has smitten us and he will bind us up. Then the next verse is, after. You see, this must take place before verse 2 takes place. God is the process of healing his people. He said, I has torn and he will heal us. I follow him. He will bind us up. After 2 days. So this verse 1 must take place before verse 2 kicks in. There can be no revival in verse 2 without the first verse being fulfilled. So the title of my message today is Overcoming Offense. Let's say it together. Overcoming Offense. Left our Bible's book of Luke chapter 17. Read from verses 1 to 2. Let's hurry up, please. Thank you. Let's read together. Then said he unto the disciples. So it was the master talking to disciples. Wasn't talking to kids. It is impossible. But at what? Offenses will come. But woe unto them to whom they come. It is a certainty. Just like the Bible says that he that shall come will surely come. It is, put it verse, next verse. Say, it were better for him that a millstone were what? Hanged about his neck and a cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Say little ones. So we find that usually offense hovers around spiritual children. It can happen to anybody. But you see, this scripture shows us, put it amplified as I keep talking, that what you need to see here is this. Even though offenses come, but it tells us that God does not want us to be offended. From that 2 verses, I put it in amplified piece as I talk. He said it's going to come. He was talking to his disciples. But mind you, they were little children at that time. They were just about 3 years old in the Lord under his ministry. They were not even born again. He said, offenses will come. I follow him. He said, offenses will come. Amplified says that. And he said to his disciples, temptations. They're temptations. Snares. Traps. Set to what? Enticed to sin. Are sure to come. Can take you to the bank. But woe unto him by whom through they come. You see, God does not want us to offend people. But you see, because of the infirmities of the flesh, and we are all a work in progress, we offend each other. But God has made a way of escape, and he wants us to take it. That is why I read Hosea. It is critical to make sure you are not offended, because verse 2 is about to take place in the body of Christ. The greater revival is about to break out. So he's sending this kind of messages to heal our hearts. To bind the broken hearted, the Bible says. To set the captives free, not for price, not for reward. The master himself, in the book of John chapter 16 in Amplified Bible, 16:1. It was for you to, I'm just trying to tell you that, you see, God doesn't want us. If a natural parent will not want this child to be offended. No. What did Jesus Christ said? It was towards the end of his ministry in Amplified. It was towards the end of his ministry. He started talking. He said, I've told you, let's go. I've told you all these things so that you should not be what? Offended. Let's, a pastor preaching this morning, taking on awares and falter to be caused to stumble and to fall away. That is the ultimate of offense. Don't take it. It is to take you off your end. That destiny that God has prepared for you. So Satan brings everything and it must be legitimate. From places you don't expect to take you off your end. But he has failed in Jesus' name. God has come to heal us, to bind the hearts together. And he says that, let's keep reading. I told you to keep you from being scandalized. To keep you from being scandalized. Say, God does not want us to be scandalized and repelled. You see, the word offense, I'm getting out of myself, in Greek is scandalon. It's the trigger on a trap. Like Yoruba, what they call pakute. You see, if you are not aware, if they put a bait on it, and when they put that bait on that trigger, once you step on that trigger, I follow me, it's like a booby trap. Pew! And it has one purpose, to keep you in prison. That is the purpose. So don't take the bait. I don't care where it comes from. No, Paul said, no, James said something, James chapter 3. He said that, in many things we offend. Oh, put it there, James chapter 3 verse 2. He said, it was an apostle. He said, in many things we offend all. He said, but if any man does not offend in word, then he's a perfect man. So as long as you're not perfect, you're going to offend people. Say, for in many things we offend some people. All. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. So if you're not yet perfect, you are likely to offend people. Either in what you say or things you do. Because of a sin nature, we are going to see as we continue. I put it there. I say, it is designed by Satan, operating through the carnal mind, to separate us, from fulfilling our destiny and from receiving spiritual nourishment from God and from fellow members. That is Satan's plan. It is to hinder us from fulfilling our destiny, the fullness of the same. Are you following me? And then to hinder you and I from receiving the nourishment that comes from God and from one another. Colossians chapter 2, verse 19 says that having nourishment ministered by that and knit together by that which every joint supplied. So if you are offended against God, you cut off the nourishment. If you are offended against your fellow brother, you either over you or under you, you cut off. But Satan has failed in Jesus' name. We will not allow it to offend us in Jesus' name. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19, amplified. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19, amplified. Are we there? So you see, say a brother or a sister. Offended is harder to be won over than a strong city. And their contentions, say contentions, they do what? Separate them. Like the path of a castle. You see, we can't play with this. But I thank God, the essence is not something. I'm not going to concentrate on the person that brings the offense. I follow him. So we're not looking at that. But God wants to heal hearts so that we can come out of it and be ready to be part of the end time company that will match shoulder to shoulder, not breaking rank. Because the Bible says, he said, he that breaks the edge, the serpent will bite him. So say the brother offended. So a brother can be offended. A sister can be offended. Are you following me? It's harder to be won over than a strong city. And they are contentious, which comes from pride. Not wanting, but say only by pride come a contention. Separate them. Say separate them. Like the bars of a castle. You know how they build castles in those days? They say it is separate. But you see, what I want you to see again is it. He didn't say they can't be won over. He said, but they are hard. They are harder. It's difficult. That shows you again that God wants us to win our brothers back. That is why you know the story of the young boy. I'm getting out of myself. The story of that boy, the prodigal son. When he returned from, what's it called? And they made a feast unto him. And they were enjoying. Everybody was happy. And that other boy that has been laboring in the vineyard of the father's house, got back and said, what is going on? I can hear some music. And said, is your brother that backslid is back now? And your father has killed the parted calf. Maybe it was the guy's, that senior brother's 21st, his body was around the corner or wedding or whatever. And that plans for the parted calf. Maybe he's been, he must have been the one feeding and taking of that calf. All of a sudden, he gets that they have killed him. Is it not bad enough to kill the calf? And it makes it worse now to give it to this guy that took his inheritance and spent it. Now, see what it says in the book, in the Bible. Are you following me? It says that Luke chapter 15, verse 28 in Amplified. Remember, I said it separates. Say it separates. You see, Jude chapter, put it in Amplified, please. Luke chapter 15, verse 28. Just leave it there. Don't change it. I just mentioned a scripture to support that just before I go to this verse. Jude chapter 1, verse 9. It says, these be they which separate themselves and are sensual. So it's a carnal thing. Sensual just means being controlled by the five physical senses. I found it. So let's read. What does it say? But the elder brother was what? Angry. Say angry. With what? Let's go. Deep seated wrath. And resolved not to go in. And his father came out and began to plead with him. That's the heart of the father. That's how God says he's turning the hearts of the fathers back to the children. That is, the father could have said, your heart is very... You want him to die, Abi? But no, see the heart of a loving father. He went after the boy. And he called him back. And he said, no, come. He said, this is your brother. He said, I want to go on that story. He said, but say one thing I want you to understand, which you must always see when things that look like offense come against you. He said something. He said, why are you disturbed? He said, all that I have is yours. That means the only thing that the prodigal son was entitled to was a calf. Are you following me? So all that I have is yours. So come in and have your own share of the fatted calf. Are you following me? So don't let it separate you. Don't go away. Don't start moving backwards like Peter. And don't say in your heart that you cannot be offended. Peter said, I can never be offended. Who told you? But see, yeah, said this now, but see, God is in the business of restoring his people to bind us up, to heal us. So I don't know what you are going through this morning. I don't know what you are facing, what has been said to you, the blow that Satan has. You don't see man. It is Satan operating through the carnal mind, through the sin nature in the flesh. Because you see, whatever is said to you, what determines your response is what is dominating your will, your mind, emotions at that time. So what you consider an insult may be a stepping stone, if you take it that place, to move up in God. Yes. I'll give examples as we continue. So, I said it's harder to be won over, but not that it cannot be won over. How do you win them over? 1 Peter 3, verses 1 to 4. You don't need to know there. He said you have a husband that does not believe. He said you can win them with an ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. That is what you saw that father did in that story. Instead of getting angry with him, he went. I'll say he entreated him. Your brother, where is his own? They have removed his own from the things written in this book. So why are you disturbing yourself? It's good for him to come back so he doesn't die and go to hell. But there's no reward again. But see, by the time I go, you have all this. So don't even disturb yourself. May God give us understanding. So the essence of this prayer, like I said, is to prepare us before it comes, to recognize it when it comes, and then to overcome it by using it as a stepping stone for spiritual growth in godly character. Be prepared, say, be prepared before it comes. Why? Because it is going to come. Then when it comes, recognize it so that you can avoid it. And if eventually you step into it, you can quickly come out, overcome it, and make it a stepping stone for godly character. Praise the Lord. So let's put on definition. What is an offense? I put it as it is a trap. Say it is a trap. set by Satan through his nature in the flesh and in the air to isolate, and to hold us captive in the prison of unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment. I'll say it again. Can put it down. It is a trap. Say it is a trap. Set by Satan, not God. God does not tempt any man with evil. Set by Satan, through his nature in the flesh and in the air, to isolate, then to hold us captive in the prison of unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment. It is an annoyance or a resentment brought about by a perceived insult to, or disregard for oneself, a displeasure, a vexation, or disgruntlement. So you can identify when you are disgruntled. When something happens and it begins to grieve you. And like I said, it is to remove you from what God has ordained for you. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 4 in the Amplified Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 4 in the Amplified Bible. No, Paul said it. I mean, James. He said in many things we offend all. Apostle. He said if you don't offend in what, then you're a perfect man. So what he's saying is that I'm not perfect. So please bear with my infirmities. Same way you are not perfect. What do you say? If the temper of the ruler, let's read together. If the temper of the ruler rises up against you, leave church. Don't listen to the messages again. Begin to gossip and criticize and backbite. It tells you the purpose. If the temper, let's read together, please. If the temper, we're in this thing together. If the temper of the ruler rises up against you, do not leave your place. Let's shout it. Do not leave your place. Touch your neighbor, not him. Do not leave your place. Or show a resisting spirit for what? Gentleness and calmness. Prevent or put a stop to great offenses. Don't leave your place. Don't leave your place. Don't leave your place. There are too many examples. You know, things happen. It happens to everybody. I was saying, can you imagine if you come to church today and you are sitting down in front and then a visitor comes, very important person, and there's no time to cajole you and say, bros, please, Governor Makinde is here. Please move. There's no seat. There's no time. The guy just walks in. I said, so-and-so has come. There's no time. He said, bros, move. If you are not careful, before everybody, you will do like this. Everybody will see the thing on your face. But you must, but Pastor Okunle was saying, your armor was always be done. There must be something that you have already imbibed. That once they occur like this, you just turn it around. You know what you do? You quickly clean the seat. As you clean the seat, you go and carry a table. Go down and put it down. Will you need water? Okay, I'm coming. Let me get water for you. You back to sender. Say back to sender. Or you come to church. You be coming for rehearsals. I'm doing everything. I don't understand. They say, no. The person that came yesterday is the one that they gave my mic to lead praise and worship. How do you respond? Are you waiting for the person to sing off key? And then you, in your heart, you are saying, Akukuzi saw. She brought up your two bafu yaza on your robe. So what's the echo robe? You see? It is not about, listen. It is not about the person that is standing here or that has been seen publicly. It's about the corporate anointing. So the choice you face every day is, are you going to choose ministry? Or are you going to choose to walk in love, in godly character? Like David, when it was offered to him. Kill Saul! Are you going to choose ministry or grow in godly character? I won't. That's the choice that we face every day. God will determine the amount of spirit and measure we get. Let's continue. So, what are the things that offend? Or offenses are towards two people. Fellow human beings, God and his word. Either those in authority over you, your peers, it could be at work, anywhere, those under you. Now, let's look at God and his word. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8. Put it in Amplified because of time.
You know, Apostle Peter, I was talking. I said, Jesus Christ, the Bible calls it a rock of offense. Pastor has taught it us before. He said, that rock, he said, if you fall upon it in humility, it will break you. But if you allow it to fall on you out of pride, it will grind it to powder. But God's design is that you fall on it so it can be a building block for you to be filled with the glory of God. But if you approach it with pride, that rock here in the Bible talks about Revelation. God says, on this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What does it amplify? Verse 8. So I'm a stone that will cause what? Stumbling. And a rock that will give men offense. They stumble because they disobey and disbelieve God's word. As those who reject him were destined or appointed to do. It's not that God appointed. No. It's like if you have a transformer or a wire that is exposed and you put a sign there. Don't go there. Anybody that goes there is gone. So whoever goes there is appointed to be electrocuted. So the best thing is not to go there. Right or wrong. So that is what the word of God does to us at times. Just like I said, eat my flesh, drink my blood. How can you say, eat my flesh, drink my blood? They were offended. He said, but many turned away from him. And he said, do you want to go also? But I said, many were offended. How can you say, eat my flesh, drink my blood? So anything can offend. Somebody's prayer life can be an offense to you. Why is he growing like this for God's sake? I don't understand. I don't understand. You know, over there, they don't grow. Now look at their church. They have 20 branches. They've just finished their convention. They don't grow. Offense. 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 Before you know it, you're already bothered on the way to Lagos. Offense. We will not take that offense in Jesus' name. Fall on the rock with humility of heart. Then you begin to see what you didn't see before. You know when those people went back? Peter says something. He said, to whom shall we go after all these years? I've left everything to follow you. Would I now go back and go and meet them? Say, we told you. Say, we told you. You just wasted all these years. You see now, you are coming back. They're going to give one silly post that it's not what God has ordained for you. That'll not be a lot in Jesus' name. Let's continue. So, I said a rock of building when approached with a humble heart, or a rock of offense when approached with an attitude of pride. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 3. In the 19 verse 3, what does it say? Proverbs 19:3. These guys seem to like Proverbs 15. What does it say? It says the foolishness of a man of man perverted his way, and his heart does what? Fretted against the Lord. Foolishness is not an abusive language. Pastor, so read Ephesians 6. Foolishness is just when your mind is alienated from the life of God. So you don't have enough light to see. So it's not an abuse. Those that were disciples was not on the way to your mouth. He said, oh, foolish, slow of heart to believe. They started explaining. So when I say God says you are foolish, not the foolish of the world. That way, no, it's that your mind is not alienated with the life of God at that time. Ephesians chapter 3 or so, 4. He said, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through ignorance that it was in them, through the hardness of their heart. So it can be corrected. Say, it can be corrected. So if God says, you are a fool, say, yes, I'm a fool. I receive life to enlighten my darkness. Shaking out like the free of Phoenician woman. I'm following me. So that is that. So that is what it means to, but the word of God can be an offense to us. You say, foolishness of a man was when you don't understand. God has said he would do something. But you have assumed like a man has going to come through me. Then he doesn't do it to you. Bible says, esteem others better than yourself. In your heart, you are saying, if you don't call me, I thank God. Let me just start. So you'll be the first one that will come for 1 hour before. You walk, you paddle upstream. You come for 1 hour before. If you don't fast, but you fast. Satan will say, are you going to pray? Yes, I will pray. The person is going, you send the text message. I'm trusting God for the anointing in your life today to break yokes. All that gizzy from the sin nature, Satan is trying to stir up, will just die away. That's the way. There's no other way. So the thought in the offenses can come. See, offenses can come when there's a delay in experiencing God's promises, such as healing, deliverance, whatever. It happened to Peter. They went to fish when they didn't see anything. But see, the master, isn't God wonderful? He went and said, Peter, don't you have any fish? He didn't say, after all these years of 3 years of fasting and praying, I laid down my life for you. Because I just went there on a 3-day journey. You've gone to fish. Peter, he was, make it. That's what some of us would do. We just descend. And then you destroy the investment of 3 years in one day. May we value the people that God has put around us. Yes, so that was what when Paul woke up. He said, what you will go. Go and call John Mark for me. It's profitable. It's profitable. Because everything that accrued to John Mark, Paul will have to account for it. So God will say that you mean that you cannot overlook the boy's infirmities. That's why you sent him away. You can endure. Say love endures long and is patient and kind. He's not willing that any should perish. Paul, you wrote it in 1 Corinthians 13 verses 4 to 8. Like Papa have said, the knowledge of a thing is not the possession of it. Offenses can come that way. I put the example of Ruth here. I've mentioned the word Ruth. Not a long message. Help me, Holy Spirit. Ruth chapter 1, verse 20, Message Bible. When things that Isaiah says, he said, the foolishness of a man perverted his way. And he begins to blame God. What happened to Ruth? I'm not sorry, Naomi. Ruth chapter 1, verse 20, in the Message Bible. Ruth 1:20. Let's together. But she said, and when they went back to Bethlehem, Judah. But she said, don't you call me Naomi. Call me bitter. The strong one has dealt me a bitter blow. Next verse. If I didn't go there now, what would the children eat? They would have all died. You said, you submit to those in authority of ours, my husband. So I followed her. No, in Kotan Zokonye. Thou shalt not fall the multitude to do the evil. So that I left here full of life, and God has brought me back with nothing but the clothes on my back. Why would you call me Naomi? God suddenly doesn't. The strong one has ruined me. Everybody kept quiet. Isn't that what we do when things like that happen to us? God, you called me to come and serve you. Then on the way to church, you get to that junction there where they are repairing the roof. That is where your axle will break into two. Then you get angry in your heart. God, then it will so happen that Satan will orchestrate it. Then your classmate that will pass. They will say, hi. Can I say, there's no problem. I'm fine. Postgraduate offense. Praise the Lord. Let's continue. So what does it say? They start blaming God. Isn't that what we do? We start blaming God. God, I've been serving you, Elijah. He told me that he left here today. They want to kill me. You know the question that he asked? The same question. Elijah! What are you doing here? Kill on GMB. You have left your place. You have left your place. He told him first time. He told him second time. He didn't understand. Then God said, okay, Elijah, go and anoint Jehu. Go and anoint so and so and so. You see, it's a prison which you must get out of as fast as possible. Don't leave your place. So, praise the Lord. Another example, I just mentioned the passage is the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 to 29. Just put in verse 29 because of time. He was talking about things he had gone through. Can you imagine a old apostle that God called, Jesus Christ appeared to him? He pushed him off his off on the way to Damascus. He had visions and different things. But yeah, the problem was insurmountable. I said, in beating stripes, beating with stripes. So and so they beat me. Today there was a time that they had to lower him through the window in Damascus. We are going to kill him in fasting, offerings, in distress, no clothing. If you read the whole of that chapter, I don't have time to turn there. He was listing the thing that is going through. And yet he was talking to a Corinthian church that did not appreciate what his life he has laid down. And in verse 29, you see, an offense is some enticement to sin, to give up, to leave your place. Says Paul, what is that? Who is weak and I'm not weak? And you call it a warrior. I've woken up since 3 a.m. this morning praying. Who is offended and I burn not? But he didn't take the offense. If you are taking that offense, you would not have finished well. This man had every reason to be offended. He could have said, "Ah, God, I'm serving you. How can you allow you to put me in prison? I can't even preach again." Chevy Timothy, go and preach. Call or pray. I'm not praying for him. Why can't you put me here? And you are doing nothing. That's even between Paul and John the Baptist. There's son, come. Year one, year two, year three, year. God. No. When you don't take it, hidden there was a way of escape for him to write two thirds of the New Testament. So don't take it. You may not understand everything. Don't take it. There will not be all those scriptures will not have been there. Are you following me? They will not have been there. It will not have finished well. But there was a way of escape for him. God has said, look, come. There is no way you can do what you are doing now when you are going from place to place. So he shut him down. If I put you in a 5-star hotel, Paul, the burden will be too much. You're waking up late and you can't wake up to joy, good morning, Jesus. So I'm putting you in prison. By the time the prison master rings the bell, you are up. You see, when you begin to look at the divine, from the divine standpoint of view, they begin to understand. If there's a blessing in disguise, then you say, okay, Lord, what is this thing for me? What are you trying to say? I don't understand. It's not about Timothy or Titus. So, what are we saying? Say, don't give up. Say, don't give up. Because we are more than conquerors to Christ. Say, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Paul refused to be offended. And that's why he got over half of the New Testament out. One with God is the majority. Example, I just mentioned in passing in Father Nash. Do you know Father Nash was the pastor of a church before? They voted him out. Daniel Nash that we talk about. He was offended quite a bit. After some time, he recovered. Because he couldn't see properly again. He now started, we found out what God did for him. He now started praying, joining Charles Finney, humbled himself. And then we talk about, can we know Charles Finney revival today without Father Nash? Many examples, contemporary. But I don't want to take too much time. As I'm talking, a lot will come into you. Like the apostle said, time will not permit me to talk about Anna and Penina. Anna, the one that the old wife died, you know, at a very young age. You know, that time won't permit me, but he refused to be offended. How can your husband die? And then you're going to be fasting and praying. Not for 1 year. But there he found destiny. I'll just draw down two examples. I mentioned them. The negative example is the John the Baptist. Matthew 11, verse 2 to 6. Put verse 6 in the Amplified. I'm not going to read it. I just read that. You know the story. When they put him in prison. Obviously, the Bible says that. When they put him in prison, you wonder, why would God allow them to put the old prophet in prison? No. At that time, he was supposed to have humbled himself and joined the master. Are you following me? But if you read the story in the book of John, he said that he was supposed to be baptizing in Jordan. So God started drying up the river. Then in the book of John, he said that John had moved from Jordan to Enon in Salem, where there was much water. God was trying to use the physical circumstances to get him into order. But kept on going downstream. So he moved his church from Ibadan. Then he moved it to Lagos. People are not coming again. God said, close it and join. From Lagos, he moved again to Abuja, Pastor Abraham. I follow him. So the end of the story was this. Things got so bad. You know the story. He said, what should you do? They locked him up in prison. And he said, you should go and, before they cut his head. God gave him time to change. God didn't want him to die in prison. If he had humbled himself and said, I made a mistake. Jesus, you may not come to visit me. But like you, speak the word only and I'll be set free. Well, a whole apostle was expecting someone to come and visit him. I was just send the word. He sent the word and healed him. So, verse 6, I'm sure, what does he say? Jesus now sent back to him. Verse 6, no? He says, I'm blessed. Let's be happy. Fortunate and to be envied is he who takes what? No offense at me and finds no cause for stumbling in or through me and is not hindered. Say hindered. Hindered from seeing the truth. What hinders you from seeing the truth? The sin nature. Darkness of the mind. He got to a place because of his self-centeredness, wanted to have my own. He no longer saw what God had told him after baptizing. But those under him saw it and they joined Jesus. So he didn't recover. It's a sad story. But say God wants us to recover. Peradventure you are in that state. And if you are not, be watchful unto prayer. The second example I look at is a possible example of David. When he was bringing back the ark, He wanted to do the will of God, no doubt about that. You see, but the things of God, you see, you have to do it the way the master said you should do it. But many times we want to do it the way we think we should do it. So the first time we were bringing him back, he put it on the Philistine's cart. We know the story. And as they were coming, what happened? The oxen stumbled. And Uzziah touched it and he died instantly. David was, say offended. Say offended. Uzziah's parents were. Uzziah's junior brother was. And those that were dancing that day were. So it was only not one person that was offended. Why? So he said, you take that. But let's just zero down. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 8, we read. Let me just read through and see a picture of what happened. And amplify it. 2 Samuel, please, let's keep to time. 16, verse 8. The Lord, 2 Samuel, is that what I'm looking for? 8. No. Is this 2 Samuel? Is this 2 Samuel? Where he was talking about the ark? Is it 1 Samuel? No, it's not 1 Samuel. Or is it 1? No. Check Chronicles. What we're bringing back the ark. Not the scripture. I missed my scriptures together. I think it's in Chronicles 16. If it's not 1, where he's talking about they're bringing back the ark. Please let me find it. When I bring it back the ark, you know, and this guy fell. You know, please remove this and put it in 2 Samuel. Let me check it on my Bible because of time. 2 Samuel is not this. It's talking about where they were bringing back the ark. And 6, sorry, not 16. Thank you, sir. 2 Samuel 6. I refuse to be offended. You know, if you find out the things that offend people, little things like it didn't greet me. I should have said it. Why did you remind me? How come it was he that told me? And they set the ark. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzziah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. Next verse. No, go to 8. Because of time. 8. Thank you, Holy Spirit. David was grieved. Say David was grieved. And offended. Because what? The Lord had broken forth upon Uzziah. And the place is called Perez Uzzah. They're breaking forth upon Uzziah to this day. Next verse. Who told you that David cannot be offended? A man after God's heart. David was afraid of the Lord that day. And said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? Care? He was not going to take the ark of the Lord. And they take it to where? Obed-Edom. So you want God to kill Obed-Edom? You see, when offense occurs, you are self-centered. Can you take it? Tell me that. He said, why did he say take it back to where he was? Go and take it out of Obed-Edom. So, anyway, you know what happened? Verse 10. Okay, read verse 10. What does that say? We don't need to read that. So, but in 2 Chronicles, so somewhere down the line, it talks about, I think 2 Chronicles, yes, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 2. He recovered. He humbled himself. Said, God, you are a righteous God. You are not. Why can something like that happen? Instead of taking offense, he was offended though, but quickly recovered. That thing wanted to put him in prison, but quickly came out by humbling himself. That's how you get out. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. When you look at the character of God, God cannot do evil. Say, God cannot be tempted. What does this say? The 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 2. Jesus, Pastor, please help me. When they brought it back, and he went and checked the book, 2 Chronicles 12:2. Yes, 12:2. Is it 12:2? Okay, 15. Thank you. Then David said, then none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for them are the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. But the answer was there all the while. The foolishness of a man perverted his ways, and his heart frets against the Lord. Well, I take it to the house of Obed-Edom. As if Obed-Edom was the problem. So, to round that story off, as we begin to round off, you know, when they now brought back the ark, Micah was David dancing with these men. You know, but by that time, what the most important thing was that they've gotten the right way to bring back the glory. So it didn't matter whether what's it called, David and the other people were dancing or not. The issue is that, notice, those that were carrying the ark were not dancing. They kept rank. A step at a time, six paces, they sacrificed. That is what God was looking for. So, but David had to leave the high and lofty place and identify with the people. So he came down among the youths. They started doing orange justice. You're laughing. And he started doing orange justice. So when they were bringing back the ark, it was going like this. Able God. So you know what happened? Micah did not understand. He was so angry. He looked up. You. Oh, Allah, disgrace me. Along Job and Yahoo, Yahoo boys. He said, you. You disgrace me today. You are doing shakiti bobo. We all did shakiti bobo. He had forgotten that the most important event of that day was to bring back the ark. Six spices and sacrifice. Six spices and sacrifice. So he should have all looked shakiti bobo, whatever that David was dancing with, in order to identify with the people. She missed a day of visitation. David was supposed to come and bless her to be fruitful, but became a curse. You will not be allowed in Jesus' name. Keep your eyes focused on the most important thing. Overlook all the petty things. Why did you wear this? Why did you do this one? And I thought that this one is, what is your own business with that one? Do you just stay focused on the ark? That the ark is coming in. Well, six pieces are sacrificed. Six pieces, this is ark. That's why the message is very important today. Keep your eyes on the ball. So, identification of offense. I'll rush with it. Says strained relationships. Strained relationships. Strained relationships with God and men. The way things are done. I don't want to take too much time. You can imagine the Bible days. Somebody comes and spits in your face to be healed. And you get offended. Or like Nehemiah, and says that, he didn't go out. Go and wash in something. So I would nonsense. You're juicy, Misha. I had to be prepared. You know why? Somewhere in the book of Jeremiah 12, God is preparing us for what to come. I'll mention this. Resistance to authority. Resistance to authority. Detachment and drifting away. And then a loss of joy. No longer love coming to church again. Everything starts drying up. Begin to, when you see those things, begin to check yourself. Why? Because he wants to move you. Why is this message very important? Offense is one of the major stumbling blocks that Satan will use in this end time due to abounding iniquity to hinder the end time Christian from fulfilling his destiny. Go and write it down. Matthew 24, verses 9 to 10. Pastor has talked very well. When the manifestation begins, put it there as I continue to talk. Bible says that many will be offended. Their offense will lead to betrayal. Then betrayal will lead to hatred. And it will deliver you up. Be very careful. When you see yourself gossiping about anybody, oversight, your friend, your natural parents, your spiritual parents, your boss at work, the person sitting next to you, the person that is doing this and you're not doing it, correct it. I say, Lord, have mercy on me. Don't deny it. He says, and then shall many be offended and shall what? Betray one another and shall hate one another. That's where Judas started from. Judas was offended. You know why he was offended? When they broke the alabaster box, he said, why are you not said this thing for 200 or something? Jesus Christ said, shut up. It was done for my burial. He took offense. So that 300 pounds that he could not get is what pushed him to betray the master for 30 pieces of silver. Say offense, betrayal, hatred. That will not be a portion. Second thing is that offense prepares the ground of the heart for deception. Say offense. Prepare the ground of your heart for deception. Why? Because you no longer walk in love as you ought to. So you shut your bowels of compassion. You have the right word, but you don't use it in love. Matthew 24, verses 11 to 12. Matthew, are we there? What does it say? And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Why? Those that were offended. Thy love of many shall wax cold. That's why you see mommy every morning. Put your husband's name there. Put your kinikon's name there. I with Amikana has put David's name there that morning when she was praying. That your love may abound yet more and more. Present complaint, judge me on things. I'm a proof of things that are excellent opposition in your heart without offense toward God in this day of Christ. So, how do we attain
to this by the mercy and the grace of God as we begin to round off. But before we round up, I want you to notice something. Satan persecuted Israel. You know the story, World War. Was Satan behind it, not the Adolf Hitler, even though he yielded and is in hell today. The same thing is what is already taking place in our nation. Persecution of Christians. Hatred. So it's not the time to criticize your redeemed brother. Or to criticize your deep alive brother. Or to criticize your scripture pastor sister. It's time to bind together in unity. Rather than help Satan. They are seeking to come and destroy the church. Then the church will begin to destroy itself. From within. A house divided against itself shall not stand. Every house divided against itself shall not stand. It's not the scripture, pastor. It's the entire body of Christ. Once there is division, we cannot stand. It dissipates the anointing. But when you come together in unity, in one accord, those that won't come, it's not your business. Those that are not properly aligned, God will remove them and block that thing. Somebody be stubborn. Your own is to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of the love of Christ that passeth all understanding. That is your assignment. Leave the rest to God. Because we need all the arsenal to defeat the northern army. So as we get to round up, Psalm 119 verse 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. You see, let me go back to that story. God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 12, I can't, 5 or so, put it amplified. He was complaining, they want to kill me. Then he told him, he said, God told me, he rebuked him, put it amplified, just read it. And I'll relate to what I'm saying. Please put it there on time. Jeremiah 12, 12, I think I wrote it down. Pastor, please help me. You see, it has become a delight to ask. Don't you get what I'm saying? So it's in Jeremiah 12, amplified. No. Jeremiah, help me, Holy Spirit. It's Jeremiah, I put it down, I wrote it down, it came to me. Is it 12:5? Pastor Ibrahim, please help me. 12:5, amplified. So he rebuked Jeremiah. And he said, but the Lord rebukes Jeremiah's impatience, saying, if you were all prophets, have raced with men on foot, and they have tired you out, then how can you compete with horses? And how will you take to flight in the land? And if you take to flight in a land of peace where you feel secure, then what will happen to you when you tread the entangled maze of the jungle, haunted by lions and the swelling and the flooding of the Jordan? Father, who is my mother? These ones that do the will of God. Mary, the mother of Jesus, heard it. The brethren heard it. But they did not take that offense because they ended up in upper room. Don't take it. Don't take it. So, how do we achieve these things? One, as you close, to overcome offense. Say honestly, I'll give it to your heart. Pastor has taught us. Be honest about it. Don't say, there's nothing. I'm not hurting. If you have a wound, instead of healing, first confess your first one to another. Say, I know. I'm okay. No. That thing will fester, get infected. By the time you are trying to deal with it, it's too late. That was the story of John the Baptist. He was too late. By the time they organized the party and the guy was dancing, it was too late. That will not be a lot in Jesus' name. So be honest about it. Then humble yourself. Go into the word we've been taught. Ask for forgiveness. You know, wash their feet. Luke 17, verse 3 to 4. I'll just mention it. Master was talking. He said, if your brother offends you 70 times 7, he said, forgive him. Don't hold any grudge. Forgiveness is not emotional. Functionality of forgiveness, as pastor has taught us, is this. You confess it by faith. You ask for life. The life removes the block that might seek to hinder you from receiving from that joint. I follow me, and then you pray in tongues. That is the functionality. That time you will feel like it. Like I said, it hinders you from receiving nourishment from God. That is the functionality of forgiveness. It's not emotional. It's not that if you have to cry, cry. But it's not about the crying. Carry out the instruction and you get the result. Then the third point is this. Abounding in love. Say, abounding in love. I mentioned Philippians chapter 1 verse 9 in KJV. Philippians chapter 1, mommy used to pray. So pray it. Where mommy is shouting, pray, pray, pray. Put it there, put it there. That is the prophetic voice announcing what is about to come. Because the end time church is going to be faced with serious persecution.
said, if it begin at us, what shall be the end of those that don't believe? So start doing it now when you are in a land of peace. And this I pray, that your love, my love, may abound yet more and more in all knowledge, in all judgments. Next verse. That you may what? Approve things that are excellent. That you be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Because if the day of Christ comes, the glory manifests and you have offense, pew, you will jump over that person. You will not jump over us in Jesus' name. So you pray. And you can only do that by praying with all kinds of prayer. The Spirit, you know, you join Good Morning Jesus prayers and you confess it. First Peter chapter 4 verse 8 in Amplified. 4:8 Amplified. It says, above all things. Party. Have what? Say intense, unfailing love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins, forgives and disregards the offenses of others who disregard it. So the day somebody speaks to you and says that we are going somewhere tomorrow, please make sure you dress very well. That is what God wanted the person to say. And after I had this done, due to the family of flesh, I said, "Step on board now. Am I what battery to call you so can I don't rate rapture?" You about to say, because of that you can't go for the occasion again. He said, if any man offend not in water, is a perfect man. So if I come to you tomorrow and say, "Bros, I will have a party tomorrow. Please dress properly. Top people are coming there." But bros, say, "But I ain't to man called you, so can you don't reach after you, my wawa." Then, you know, you can't even think about anything. It's easy to laugh now, but when it occurs, brother, it is painful. But his grace is. It's an opportunity to walk in love. Eh? It's an opportunity to believe God for another pair of shoes. The fourth thing, I will close with this. Say exercise. Exercise. Practice. Acts chapter 24, verse 16. Amplified, I will close. Acts chapter 24, verse 16. Tomorrow, please dress properly. Top people are coming there. But bro, say, "But I ain't to man, it's okay, don't reach your rapture, you're my wawa." Then, you know, you can't even think about anything. It's easy to laugh now, but when it occurs, brother, it is painful. But his grace is. It's an opportunity to walk in love. Eh? It's an opportunity to believe God for another pair of shoes. The fourth thing, I will close with this. Say exercise. Exercise. Practice. Acts chapter 24, verse 16. Amplified, and we close. Acts chapter 24, verse 16. Say, "Therefore, I always exercise and discipline myself, mortifying my body, deadening my carnal affections, bodily appetites, and worldly desires, endeavoring in all respects to have a clear, unshaken, blameless conscience, void of offense towards God." Amen. Let's stand up to pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. Thank you for the covenant of the fathers. We are grateful, Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for honoring Jesus. Thank you for coming to heal our hearts. As you said in Hosea chapter 6 verse 1. That Lord God, you've turned and you will heal us. You smitten us and you will bind us up. Put it back in Hosea chapter 1. That's what God wants you to do. So if you have a heart in your heart, any form of bitterness, you recognize that in a pleasing house, recognize it between you and God. No need to come for any altar call. God is everywhere. Like that song that the choir sang, "Please, sister, and if I sing that first song for the worship again, that is here." That's Hosea song. We used to round up, put on the board so we can sing. Hosea says, "Come, let's return. Come, and let us return unto the Lord. For your turn." Put it back there, please. Let us read one more time. Say, "Come, let us return unto who? The Lord. For he has what? Done. And he what? Heal us." So they say there is healing. Yeah. "And he will what? Heal us. He has smitten. And he what? Bind us up." Then when we do this, everybody as does this from his heart, has positioned himself for verse 2. Say, "After 2 days, he's a sure banker. Will he revive us? And in this third day, he will resolve. Then shall we know those that do verse 1 or not." Then shall we know if you follow on to know the Lord. For his going up is as the morning, as the former, the latter rain in the first month. If Joel says, then the floor shall be full of wheat, the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And it will restore the year that the canker on the caterpillar and the power of has written. Folks, the revival is just around the corner. Set your heart right. Put your house in order. There's healing. Because he's here. Please sing that song.
Where to
slowly. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Let's sing
Lord, together. You said you be there.
Yes. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
We honor your presence.
Yes, Father. We worship you, Holy Spirit. Thank you so much.
Where two or three are gathered, Lord, you said.
Yes, it's here to heal every heart in heart. I don't care what you've gone through. The balm of Gilead can heal you. If you've left your place, go back there. Stop. Just a second. What will have happened if John the Baptist, you are talking about Abraham today. What would have happened if John, not John the Baptist, I'm sorry, Zechariah, got offended and said, after all these years, no child. Bible says that he was in the order of his course. That was when the angel came. What if you have been offended and left this place? The angel would have come and gone back. And you know the worst thing that would have happened? Would have still been dumb anyway. Let not the heathen say, where is our God? God is fixing to do something. Isaiah said, Lord, rend the heavens. Let the presence descend down. That the mountains may melt like wax. Lord, rend the heavens. God wants to rend the heavens. He wants to pour out his spirit. But we must align to heal us. We must align to bind us up. That's it about unity. So the anointing can flow. The same person today that has gone away, don't despise them. They can recover like John Mark to come and write the book of Mark. John Mark made it. Don't condemn no man. Put in your own canoe. Pray for them. Ask for life. Move on. The guy came back and he wrote the book of Mark. Gospel according to Mark. Dictated by Peter. Written by John Mark. And I asked this question. I was thinking the other day. Didn't Peter have children? No. Didn't Peter have children? When I was married, Jesus healed his mother-in-law. So don't condemn anybody. Condemn no man. It is not over until it's over. Work on yourself. Work on your heart. Ask for life for them. And then move on. Many will come back. Isaiah says that. I can't remember 49. He says, Lord, who has begotten me this once? If you are there the day that Onesimus was sent away by Philemon, because that is your end. Ole, 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 ole. What the lela ole. But he came back. Paul sent him back after grown spiritually. Yes, let's think. We can now pray. We can pray now. Then let's sing that song. One straight time. I will pray. I'm sorry for taking your time.
Where two or three are gathered, Lord, you said.
Yes.
You are there. Lord, we honor your presence.
We honor your presence.
Yes. Oh, where two or three.
My Father is here.
Guided,
you Lord Jesus is here. The Holy Spirit, receive.
Lord,
receive by faith.
We are
receive. Believe that one.
Don't
sing and receive. Yes. Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Receive the scripture of plastering. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 11, said, because you don't judge yourself, that's why some of you are weak, some of you are sickly, some of you sleep. But if you judge yourself, you are going, you're not going to be weak, you're not going to leave this place, you are sick, and not going to die.
Heavenly Father, I confess our sins, and so we cling with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life with our hands raised up. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that you love me and care for me with an everlasting love. So much more that you don't want me to wander away from my place of, assignment and destiny through offense. As we await the manifestation of your glory in this study, I receive fresh mercy. I receive fresh grace under the covering of the Father of the house to heal my heart from unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment. And as you heal me, you will bind me up, pouring your oil in my wounds and making me whole again. As you revive us in this study, in Jesus' name. Let's pray in tongues. Repro Rabasala Kuria and the Karaba. Repro Kurumasi Karaba Kuria Santaria. Repro Rabra Sankaria. Redibo Kuruma Santa La Kuri Katuria. Neproku. Manibo Santa. Repro Sala. Kuruma Sankaraba Salaba Kutorma Seka. Rebo. Radiba Santa Karia. Repro Salaba Kuri. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Rama Santa Rabakarama Santa Rama Salaba Kutorma.